Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. More now on the overnight airstrikes launched by the U.S., Britain, and France on Syrian sites linked to chemical weapons. Members of the Massachusetts congressional delegation this morning are criticizing President Trump for taking military action without congressional approval, and they are calling on him to explain the U.S. strategy in Syria. Joining us now is former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Nicholas Burns. He's now a professor of diplomacy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Ambassador Burns, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Sharon.
You served as Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs under the George W. Bush administration, and you sat on the National Security Council in the 1990s. Please give us your overall view of the last 12 hours.
Well, I think that President Trump and the British and French were right to take this limited military action. It defends civilians against the use of chemical weapons by the Assad government. We've all signed a chemical weapons convention back in 1997. We can't normalize the use of chemical weapons, particularly against vulnerable populations. It was designed to strike at the ability of the Syrian army to do this again. So it struck at their command and control headquarters and the production points for chemical weapons. There is broad international support for this morning in Europe, in the Middle East, and I think the president did the right thing.
Now, a big concern raised by supporters as well as opponents of the military strikes targeting the chemical weapons capability in Syria has been whether there's a long-term strategy. And do you see evidence of one?
I don't. And I think that's the weakness of President Trump. We need a long-term strategy. We don't want to get involved directly in the civil war. We don't want to put hundreds of thousands of American troops back into the Middle East. But here's what we could do. Number one, we've got to finish the war against the Islamic State. We have 2,000 American special forces fighting in the north with the Syrian Kurds against the Islamic State. We've made tremendous progress, but the battle's not yet done. That's the first thing we have to do. President Trump even last week said we should take the troops out, but that wouldn't make any sense before we defeat this terrible group. Second, I think there's a diplomatic play here. The U.S. and the Arab countries and the European countries ought to be together in one big coalition to push for a ceasefire in Syria, to push for settlement talks, to end this war and protect the Sunni population, because the other side of this is Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, and Syria. That's a nefarious coalition. They're the ones driving the future of Syria, and we ought to be involved diplomatically to try to bring the weight of Arab opinion and European opinion into this. And number three, we have to take in more Syrian refugees. The United States has always been a generous country when refugee situations have developed in the world. In this case, the Trump administration, I think, has taken in 11 Syrian refugees in the last year. Germany's taken 1 million. Sweden, Canada's taken 50,000. Sweden's taken 200,000. So we need to do our bit. We know how to do this. We know how to vet people who are refugees coming into our countries, but we've been absent in this. It's a moral humanitarian obligation that we have. So I think there is a strategy out there, but the president hasn't put it all together, and I fear he won't.
Give us your assessment of, as it stands now, the president's inner circle on Syria and what sort of guidance he's getting from his advisors.
It appears that Secretary Jim Mattis and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dunford, argued for a limited strike. This was a very difficult equation to face this week. We certainly did not want to target the Russians. We didn't want to launch a strike that even in a tangential way could have affected the Russians, because Russia's a nuclear weapons power. You don't want to get into a situation where you might stumble into a conflict. And I think on the other side, there were other people in the administration arguing for a broader set of attacks. I think the Mattis approach was right. He's experienced. He's a military person. He understands how dangerous this could be. And that was the needle they had to thread this week. That's why it took 4 or 5 days to put together this coalition. So Mattis is a supremely important figure. I think he's a rational, intelligent person. Glad he's Secretary of Defense.
What do you think is the risk, though, of a cycle of escalation from the Syrians, from Syria's allies, Russia and Iran, with the U.S. getting drawn into a longer involvement in Syria?
what you're going to see today and tomorrow is a big rhetorical pushback by the Syrian government, by the Russians, by the Iranians. They'll say that this was illegal. They'll say that this was imperialist. But you expect them to say that. I don't think the Russians and Iranians will hit back against the United States. This was limited. It was designed to be limited. I think this is an effective action. I don't think there'll be a major reaction beyond rhetoric at the United Nations by the Syrians and the Russians.
You have pointed out that you have some concerns about how we got to this point. You've singled out what you call the president's Twitter diplomacy.
Yeah, I think we saw this week the dangers of Twitter diplomacy, the president reacting emotionally, abruptly, early in the morning to international events. And on Sunday and again on Monday and Tuesday, he was trumpeting imminent attacks. And then when the attacks didn't come, because it became much more complicated during the week to try to bring the French and British together, he fell under other pressure, and his credibility was at stake. I think the president needs to restrain from tweeting about urgent international issues like this. He made these tweet threats before he actually talked to his diplomatic and military advisors.
Ambassador Burns, thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Nicholas Burns, a professor of diplomacy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and former U.S. ambassador to NATO, reacting this morning to the overnight airstrikes in Syria. This is 90.9 WBUR.